Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
So the past 2 weeks, Mr. Royce and Mr. Liebarger have talked to us about justice and what it looks like biblically. Yet when you look around at our Christian community, it seems like we're avoiding it. Now, avoiding it is usually a result of one of three reasons. The first one being the unfamiliarity of justice can be scary. A majority of us have had the privilege to grow up in a Christian home, which by all means is a great thing. But sometimes we can end up being a little sheltered because our parents, out of their love for us, want to keep us from the bad things of the world. So we're scared to dig into justice because we're frightened by it, and it's not what we learned about in Sunday school. Our families and our upbringing significantly impact who we become. In fact, a study done by Pew Research Center showed that 76% of teens shared the same opinion as their parents. So it truly is the simple way out. But what do you do if you don't agree with your parents? What if your beliefs and ideas contradict your family's? Matthew 6:1 tells us, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." But this verse can be tricky because you have to be careful. Ephesians 6:1-4 tells us to obey our parents and to respect them, which is crazy important to God. But there's a line between living how you see the Bible's commanding you to live and living for somebody else. Don't get me wrong, not sharing the same opinions or ideals as your family is very uncomfortable. I struggle with that myself. Over the summer, our world and our country specifically was faced with a lot of injustice. The murders of many innocent people and multiple protests that turned violent made me realize that what I had previously done for my brothers and sisters was clearly not cutting it now. I remember coming home from going kayaking on the river in Troy one day during the summer to scroll through Instagram and see the violence that had taken place earlier that day. It made my heart heavy. I had just got back from a day of having fun and being careless and having no fear of how I was going to be treated, yet Breonna Taylor of Louisville woke up in her own home to be killed by people that she thought she could trust. I voiced my opinion to my family to find out that we weren't on the same page and we weren't thinking the same way. And I struggled with this at first, but after a while, I came to the realization that you can still disagree with someone and show them respect. If you believe, based on the Bible, that God would be pleased with the way that you're living your life, then, and you still respect your elders, your parents, everyone, then you're not going against God's commands. Another reason why is that we're afraid of being ridiculed, which, if I'm being 100% honest, will happen. We live in a sinful world full of people with different morals and values, and people are not always going to agree with you. And that's all right. That's one of the beautiful things about this world, is that we all have different opinions. Like Mr. Royce talked about last week, God still loves every last person on this earth. God loves the people that we hate. All of these people that ridicule you or make fun of you because of what you believe are still created in the image of God, and all the people that we act unjustly toward are still created in the image of God. Lastly, the reason might be that we don't know where to start, which is completely reasonable, especially if you've grown up in an environment where injustice really isn't talked about. It's hard to know where to begin. The last point is mainly what I'm going to be talking about today. So, in my mind, the first step to understanding is admitting that we don't know all of the answers. We live in a world where we're expected to have all the answers, but we live in a sinful world. We are sinful people. I'm not saying that we should strive to be incorrect or sinful, but in order to be logical, we must recognize that we don't know everything. For example, we'll never know what it's like to lose a friend or a family member or a parent unless we talk to somebody who has. I get it. It's a lot easier said than done to accept being wrong, but all of us in some way, shape, or form are. If we accept that we have failed, it's going to be a lot easier to work on it. So in this case, we have to admit that we have treated people unjustly, which may seem like a broad statement, but I can guarantee that every single one of us in this room has treated somebody unjustly at some point in time. So admit it to yourself. We have treated people unjustly. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." If our goal is restorative justice, then confession is the necessary path that needs to be taken to lead us to healing and restorative justice. Confession is the root of restorative justice, and confession leads to healing. You might be thinking, I haven't done anything wrong. What do I need to confess? But let's take a look at a prayer from the Book of the Common Prayer. It says, "Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen." Our confession is not limited to what we have done wrong, but what we have not made right. The past couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about what injustice looks like in the Bible, but injustice hasn't gone anywhere. One main example of injustice in our world today is oppression because of the color of people's skin. Our country has been faced with racism nearly since the beginning. From slavery to segregation to recent events, you would think that since the Civil War happened and our country made slavery illegal, that all of our problems would be solved. But following the Civil War, our country faced segregation, dividing people based off of the color of their skin. Once we got rid of segregation, like, there should be an end to racism, right? But unfortunately, no. Since then, people of color, including Black people, Hispanics, Latinos, Asians, have been continued to face injustice. They walk home scared of being hate-crimed and can't go out in public without the fear of being treated poorly by their own brothers and sisters. Why is this injustice suddenly different than what we see in the Bible? If we're so against abortion because it's killing lives, then why are we still dismissing the behaviors of our fellow brothers and sisters that have the same effect? Just because they're upset. Are we really telling ourselves that this is Christ-like? Now, some of you may be talking to yourself and you're like, well, I've never hurt anyone else because of this, or I've never been the one causing the oppression, so I should be fine. If any of you guys have been in Mr. Royce's room, he has a poster on his wall and it says, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and we say that we're neutral, the mouse isn't going to appreciate our neutrality. When we care for the mouse, we're caring for the least of these, just as God has directly commanded us to. But it can be difficult. A lot of times you will see situations as a result of injustice, such as a protest or a rally, and usually the only side of these situations that we see are like the negative, violent, disruptive sides. So how do we love them when their actions are not something that we agree with, or their actions are what we see as unbiblical? It's hard, I get that. But in order to keep the least of these in mind, I tell myself this again. We live in a sinful world full of sinful people. In God's eyes, the violent actions that sometimes appear at a protest are no worse than your gossiping about the person you sit next to in class. We tell ourselves that there are capital sins, ones that are worse than the others, but there isn't. This doesn't justify ungodly actions, but remember that the person without sin is supposed to cast the first stone, just like Jesus tells us in John 8:7. Even though you may not agree with the action taken place by people facing injustice, you have to remember that God still calls us to love them, to give them the love that they don't deserve, but that they need. With a person, what a person does is between them and God. We do not have any place for approval. So what is our role? To make judgments, to have opinions, to criticize? It doesn't matter if you have contributed to the injustice yourself, but as Christians, our role is to address these situations and make them right. Mr. Royce looked at Matthew 25 last week, and I thought it would be good to bring it up again. It says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.'" Jesus did not say, "You made me hungry," but he was hungry and they did nothing to solve the problem. Biblical justice is that a problem exists and we fix that problem regardless of where it came from. Now, not all of us are ready to jump into action and attend a protest or start an organization. All of us are at different levels of readiness when it comes to this sort of thing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. Anyone? Like a head nod, maybe? Yeah? Okay. So it was a show on Nickelodeon when we were growing up, and it was Ned, a teenage boy. He was going through high school, and he kept a journal talking about all the advice and wisdom that he gained through all 4 years. So maybe we can think of it as Ainsley's Declassified, helping the least of these survival guide, maybe? We're all in different stages of pursuing the least of these, like Ned going through each year of high school. Maybe this concept is completely new to you. You're like a freshman. You are only beginning to wrap your head around it, and that's all right. The first step to anything is just thinking it through. And maybe that's where you are right now. So what's your next step? Simply, just think about it. We need to start normalizing changing your opinion after you've learned something new. Like we talked about earlier, it's hard to get to a position in life where you are comfortable moving forward with your thinking if you don't allow yourself to recognize that it is okay to think in a new and different way. Now, sophomores and juniors are usually kind of in the same spot in high school. If you're a sophomore or junior, you probably feel like you're stuck in high school and you don't necessarily have a next step to take. So let's say you're a sophomore in our little, the least of these world. You feel the need to help others, but you aren't necessarily sure how. So start small. You can donate your old clothes to a thrift store so that other people who really need it can receive it. Or maybe you're growing out of the way your room's decorated, so you donate your decorations to Goodwill. Possibly you are a junior. You're kind of in the same spot as a sophomore, but you have a few more resources than they do. You might have a job or a car to drive. The next step for you could possibly be to donate to an organization that's helping others. Maya Dilbone, a senior here at TC, has her own nonprofit, and you could donate food to her. Or my dad has a nonprofit that purifies water for those who don't have clean water. And if you're interested in either of those, you can talk to me or Maya, and I'm sure we'd be happy to help you. And lastly, maybe you have a fully grasped understanding and you're ready to take the next big step. You are a senior. Maybe it's your time to join a protest or start an organization. No one really knows except for you. The opportunity is pretty much endless. We live in a sinful world full of sinful people, which means that injustice exists and it's not always someone else's fault. To combat injustice, we must honor the least of these, meaning our fellow brothers and sisters. We must honor them when they treat us poorly, when they've done ungodly actions. Most importantly, when we don't agree with them, by responding with just and fair actions. In order to do this, there are three steps. The first step is caring. If we don't care, we don't see a problem to fix. And when we don't see a problem to fix, we can't show people restorative justice like God has called us to do. Second step is listening. When we skip the listening step, we assume we know the solutions. This step involves admitting that we don't know all the answers until we talk to someone who's been directly impacted by injustice, like we talked about earlier. Practically embracing humility is admitting that you don't have the answers, which in turn means that practically pursuing justice involves listening to those who are being affected by the injustice that's taking place. Listening shows God's love. It shows people, yes, I care for you, I'm listening to you, and you're being heard. Third, using your voice. Everyone can talk about things. Everyone can bring awareness, especially after we have listened to the oppressed. This goes along with those steps we talked about earlier about practically pursuing the least of these. We must amplify our own voices in order to amplify the voices of the suffering. May we recognize that there are problems to be fixed, and it is our job to solve them. May God give us the hearts to hear our brothers and sisters' need for restorative justice. And may we use our voices to bring attention and justice to the left out. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up here and share my heart with all my fellow peers. I pray that you give us the mindset to honor our brothers and sisters and show them the restorative justice that they deserve. and that our actions reflect who you really are. I pray that we go about the rest of our days honoring you, and that we have the restoration of our world and keep us all safe and healthy during this last final quarter. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.